Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ and Bucky back together. Buck, how are you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm good, DJ. What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm excited about today's episode, man. We've got a great guest. This is an opportunity during this time of year. We get to kind of cherry pick guys we want to talk to, guys we're intrigued by. And this is one that we've talked about a lot over the last couple of years. It's Brian Hartline, a former NFL wide receiver, is the wide receivers coach at Ohio State University, where they have churned out one stud receiver after another. And the cupboard is still full, as we saw in the Rose Bowl last year, with talented guys. So we want to pick his brain a little bit in terms of the evaluation process with wide receivers, as well as the development process with wideouts. So that conversation is going to be coming your way in just a few minutes.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what he has to say about it all, because it's a position where you can put a great athlete out there and maybe have success. But the guys we talked about, it, the guys who play for a long time and have a lot of success, are the guys who are really skilled craftsmen on the perimeter. Guys who can run routes, guys who understand how to create separation, guys who not only have great hand-eye coordination, but they have tremendous ball skills. And some of that stuff is natural, but a lot of it is taught, and it takes great teachers to help those guys acquire those skills.
Yeah, hopefully you guys will dig this conversation. We're all going to learn together. I've got the pen and the paper ready, as we do with these conversations, Buck, take some notes and see what I can find out about Coach Hartline. Before we get to that conversation, though, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit and let's chat it up on the wide receiver position. When you look around the league, let's go to the guys that were rookies last year. So some second-year wideouts. When you look at that list, Buck, are there some guys on there you're excited to see? Maybe this is kind of that breakout that we're waiting for here, year number two.
Yeah, so let's go to the Baltimore Ravens and go to Rashad Bateman. You know, when we think about the Baltimore Ravens, obviously we always think about Lamar Jackson and the running attack and what Lamar Jackson is going to do to impact that attack. I'm thinking about Rashad Bateman because he now will be the number one receiver there. Hollywood Brown is no longer there. They have a ton of tight ends in tow, but they don't necessarily have an established wide receiver. Well, last year they took him in the first round because they maybe kind of had a foreshadowing that this would be the role that he would have. So now let's see how he steps into that number one role. And by being a number one in Baltimore, it doesn't need mean that he has to have 80, 90 catches. I would think 50 to 60 catches for Rashad Bateman is a very realistic number. But if he's able to push that over 1,000 yards, to me, he's giving them exactly what they want, meaning big play production on limited opportunities. That's exactly how they need to complement the running game, because I think they're going to go back to running the football and run it at will.
Yeah, I think when you look at his outlook for this year, the targets, I don't even really care about the targets, man. It's just going to be big explosive plays. Like, you know, keep an eye on the number of plays over 30, 40 yards. I think he's going to be able to give them those. I think they're going to get back to establishing that run, be healthy along that the line of scrimmage, and then use those tight ends. And then I think his role is going to be to pop some. And sometimes those can even just be on slants, Buck. You get everybody jammed in there. And just the RPO game, boom, shoot a slant out there and let him go. So I'm with you on that one. I think he has a good year. I'm going to give you two names. Elijah Moore. We saw what he could do when he was healthy. He had a 4 or 5 game stretch last year. Remember that game against Indianapolis mm-hmm. where he went off. You're talking about a premier route runner. Year number two, not only for him and the system, year number two for Zach Wilson, the quarterback. They get a chance to work on that chemistry a little bit. I just think he's a guy that can uncover. You keep Corey Davis healthy. You bring in some of these other weapons. Garrett Wilson, as a rookie, be able to give them a little juice. You've got the running game should be better with the offensive line, hopefully healthy. You add in Breece Hall. I think Elijah Moore is poised for a big year. And then I'll go to the team that I see each and every week in Josh Palmer. Maybe not kind of a household name, but we loved him going through the process. We talked about him at the Senior Bowl, how well he did there. I remember during that draft evaluation, we talked about how he's one of the few guys that got Patrick Surtain. He got him in that game, Tennessee-Alabama game. Last year, when given opportunities, they had some injuries, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, kind of in and out. I thought he stepped up, and I think he's got a chance to kind of run with that third wideout position there with the Chargers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you talked about those guys. There are two guys that I also bring up. How about Dyami Brown from Washington, the Commanders' second-year player? He's a vertical playmaker that they may need. Everyone's going to pay attention to Terry McLaurin. You have Curtis Samuel. Dyami Brown could be a big play threat for the Commanders. And then Amari Rodgers. He's kind of been the forgotten man in Green Bay. But when you look at the progression that they normally have with their wide receivers, it's normally the guy that is a third-round pick who kind of starts out as a punt returner. He has some problems as a punt returner, but now I think he's more settled in. When you hear the talk coming out of Green Bay, there are people that are excited about the stuff that he's been able to do in the offseason. I think he is someone to keep an eye on. He might be a very productive chain mover for the Packers as a number three receiver in that offense.
All right, well, there you go. There's a couple year two guys that we're fired up on. Speaking of fired up, we are extremely fired up for our guest here. We teased it at the top. Let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and bring him in here. Let's bring in Brian Hartline, former NFL wide receiver and really kind of the caretaker of the top wide receiver program in the country. I think you can make that case right now at Ohio State. Here's our conversation with Coach Hartline. All right, Buck, we talked about it. Let's bring him in here. Coach, we appreciate you taking some time and joining us today. First of all, man, what you've got a killer killer tan working right now. I need to know what you've been up to, man.
So in the college world, we get the awesome opportunity to constantly do high school camps all summer in June. So I'm outside coaching up guys. Really, it's a great eval process, but we've had a lot of camps outside, a lot of work outside. And any chance I get, I go to the pool with my kids. So I'm definitely working on my team here. So,
oh, yeah, Coach, you definitely have the bronze god working. You definitely look the part. But I'm curious about the high school camp. Is there anything that you can glean from watching a high school kid at camp under your tutelage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the in-person evals are critical. I think that, you know, film can tell you one thing, but film can be a direct relation to, sure, their coachability and how they're coached and what the expectations are. And that changes from team to team. But to get your hands on with somebody and have them move, I think that, you know, I like to pride myself. I think I know what it looks like. You know, I can kind of relate to it. I like to work with them to get their personality that you don't get on film. It's like texting versus talking on the phone. There's something you're getting from a communication standpoint in a phone call that you're not getting in a text. Same as film. So to me, in-person evals are critical. To be frank, to talk college ball, I mean, I've offered probably 4 or 5, 6 guys just this summer alone by getting to work with them. So that in-person eval can be critical.
Coach, I'm curious from your time playing, you're a fantastic receiver there at Ohio State. You went on to the league. the difference in the training for these kids versus what, you know, we're all similar age when we were coming up, just the 7-on-7 stuff, the year round, what is the positives in the difference with these kids now? And then maybe what's something that you think might be a negative?
Well, I think that there's a lot of ball being played, which is a positive. I mean, anytime you're going out there and you're throwing and catching, it's really great for, I would say, receivers and DBs more than anybody. Quarterback play can get a little hairy, you know, as far as reads and how that real life works with no rush and all that. And people out there in, like, you know, pajama pants and like all kinds of just hanging out stuff. So to me, you know, I think that there's all kinds of stuff that goes on in the 7-on-7 world. That being said, anytime young men can compete, if you're finding that in track and field, I love it. If you find that, you know, in basketball, we love that. Anytime you can compete, that's important. So this competition is really awesome. It does open up a weird world of adults being involved. And when too many adults get involved, things can get hairy. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can create bad habits a little bit. But I think that the positives outweigh the negatives at the end of the day, especially for these skilled athletes. In the 7-on-7 world, they do get to develop. I don't know how you get the same development for like an O-line, D-line. That's the one thing that we see more than ever. I think trying to find the quality O-lineman, it's just not a, you know, sexy position. You know, a lot of those D-linemen, I think they're D-linemen, they really should be playing O-line. And that development from the pass game perspective is there. But who are those run blockers? Who are – so in a college setting, whenever there's a positive, like anything, there's always a, you know, a drawback. But I think it's great for guys to compete. As far as the training goes, a lot of guys I think are – more advanced than ever. I think the game has been sped up. I think recruiting's been sped up. I think development's been sped up. And, you know, that's really, really important. But what it takes to get to the NFL level hasn't changed. The work that it takes to get to the NFL level hasn't changed. It just feels like there's more of them from a receiver standpoint. The floor is a lot higher than it used to be. And the skill set of these young athletes are just continuing to grow.
You know, Coach, I got to ask you this because I spent a lot of time coaching high school wide receivers on the tour, doing the stuff at the Elite 11 and opening and those things. And I think one of the biggest challenge for me as a coach is coaching guys that come in different sizes with different games. You have a little guy who is maybe ideally suited to be in the slot. Then the next rep, you may have a big body playmaker on the outside. For you at Ohio State, you guys have had all types come through there. Mm-hmm. How do you adjust your teaching when it comes to techniques when dealing with different types of players to get them all to maximize their potential?
You know, I think that I really, refrain from ever pigeonholing a guy into this type of player. I think that at the NFL level, if you're not well-rounded, you're not going to make it. So, you know, it's amazing. My passion has always been the NFL. You know, the NFL is where I grew up. I wasn't a college fan. So everything is geared towards that. The way I teach, the way I coach these guys, I am prepping them to be, you know, NFL players. You know, we're not going to go to school for 3 or 4 years, learn a degree and not be prepared to be a CEO. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So everything is prepped for that. So they do have different skill sets. They need to know who they are, and they got to make sure they add to that. Because if you're not well-rounded, as soon as your coordinator gets fired or your head coach changes, you don't fit a system, then you have issues. And I think that at the end of the day, you may have different, you know, size from a height perspective, but your catch radius better be off the charts. Your toughness better be off the charts. You should be able to do anything someone's asked you to do. And I understand, you know, you're not going to put a 5'10 kid on the backside of a 3x1 concept and isolate him, but he has to be able to do that at times. We get into 12 personnel. You want to make sure Jarvis Landry can go at the X and still win. I mean, that's going to happen. So That's always been our mindset. And I think the guys really buy into that. I think that, again, we make sure to recruit guys that we kind of fit our mold. You know, there's maybe some smaller guys that really just could be great players, just not for us, which is okay. Mm-hmm. They can go somewhere else and be great players. So it's all that, you know what I mean? All that plays a part. But from a personality standpoint, from our room standpoint, I don't like being labeled. I was labeled, and I carry that with a chip. So, you know, if you ask any guy in my room, they can do anything you ask them to do. Coach, what do you want me to do? And then we want to train them that way.
I'm curious, Coach, when you do self-scout, one of the things you always do in scouting is we're always going back trying to figure out why we got guys wrong, why we got guys right. And Bucky and I have been talking about this for a few years, and we kick this around with Reggie Wayne a lot too. But when you kind of go through and look at the guys, maybe we personally maybe have undergraded over the years, we kept seeing these same words pop up over and over again. Craftsman, polish, he's got tempo, he's got feel. And then you look at some of the guys you miss on, more kind of straight line fast guys that just didn't necessarily have all that. When you've looked at just the evaluation process before you get your hands on them to develop them, what are some of those lessons that you've learned over the years as an evaluator or a recruiter?
I would say that you can't get mad at a guy that can't do something he can't do. All right. So to me, I would say that, you know, the athletic side of things, the film side of things, that's more of a check the box. Like, is he fast enough? Is he quick enough? Is he big enough? Is his frame enough? And then you go from there. I mean, you're talking about 16, 17-year-old athletes. Now, what's not negotiable is their mental makeup. And what is that? What does that entail? I'm just telling you, at the end of the day, I've never talked to a great athlete, a great wide receiver in the NFL. And frankly, for lack of better words, they were dumb. Like, all of them can talk it. All of them can think it. It's all this, it's a cerebral game. Your ability to take information and reapply it is critical. You know, we have a saying, you know, in our room, and this is kind of, again, it leads to that. Like, it's all a mindset, right? It really is. Like, when I ask someone to raise their hand as high as they can, and then they raise it, and I ask, no, as high as you can, and then it changes. Why don't we understand it the first time? And and to me, I think that, you know, again, we talk about man coverage, right? In man coverage, a DB only plays as fast as the receiver, right? He only operates off the information we give him, okay? So how do we give information? Everything is one from breakpoint to catch point. How do we separate? How are we able to create separation to make the quarterback better, to make the O-line better? We're a trickle effect. So we spend so much time about the mental aspect of the game and our approach and what we're trying to get accomplished. Okay, did we accomplish it? If through the recruiting process and the eval process, if you can't get a feel on that, it's the wrong fit, at least in our eyes, in my eyes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to ask you a follow-up on that because I'm curious. Like, say you get, and we totally pay attention to the recruiting process at the college level, but I'm sure you've got some guys that are probably already committed future players. Would you, or even guys you're recruiting, would you ever watch, you know, a game early in their high school season and maybe say, hey, I've noticed this or this, you know, maybe you could make an adjustment. You're almost kind of coaching a kid before he even gets to you. Or I don't know if that's frowned upon. I don't know what the rules are there, but man, that's an idea to see if a kid can learn and adapt.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, so to me, those guys thrive on that. And frankly, I think that a lot of the feedback is the dialogue we give is a lot different than others. And that kind of separates us, to be honest. So like, but no, I agree with you. I think that, I don't always say that and give a direct response. My first question always is, why'd you do that? Because if they don't know why they did it, they're just being a baller. They don't have any idea. To me, I don't care that you can do it. It's about how often you can do it. If you don't know why it's good, it probably won't show up again. It's a coin flip. So we spend as much time as we can identifying the good, but also reinforcing why it's good. Hold on. Awesome route. Great inside release. Do you understand why that positioned the guy there? If they know that, good chance it's going to happen again. And if they know that, then the negatives or the not so goods don't show up. So we spend so much time on the positivity of why it was good because I want to see more of that. If you just say, hey, man, great route. That's all I got when I was a player. I caught a ball. I got like, oh, man, great route. I'm like, oh, actually, that was a crap route. But I was productive. So that's all you can tell me. So like, I really, really, really enforce like why it was good because if they know why, it'll happen more often. If they don't know why, it's a coin flip. And the more times they know why, the mistakes, the MAs just go by the wayside because you're really focusing on why it was a good rep. That makes sense. So I did the same thing with the high school kids. Hey, do you know why that was good? Honestly, coach, I have no idea. I'm like, okay, that's a good answer. Let me explain to you why. Yeah. And then we go from there.
You know, Brian, I really love what I'm hearing. And I have to ask you this because as a longtime player, I'm curious because you're so detailed and dialed in and can give me the whys behind it. Who influenced you the most in terms of you learning how to take information like that and you learning how to give information like that? Because that is uncommon in my experience.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, so in retrospect, first answer is going to be Daryl Hazel. Coach Hazel was the receiver coach here, when I was here, fortunate enough to have him all 4 of my years. And again, it's funny. But then I think, frankly, you know, that I kind of developed along my own path. I think I was being a player. And frankly, I've had coaches that, you know, I was very underwhelmed with at times. And, you know, guys like Jarvis Landry and Brandon Marshall, Mike Wallace and Brandon Gibson and Greg Camarillo, like we would be coaching ourselves, but I'm very opinionated. So I think it just developed over time. Honestly, we were coaching each other. We were, and there's nothing better than peer-to-peer learning. there isn't. And so I learned a lot from Coach Hazel. I learned a lot from Jarvis Landry and Brandon Marshall. He's learned from me. And we learned a lot from each other. And I think over time, it's just continued to develop. I'm now a coach for 5 years. And I've learned so much just grabbing, you know, refining my belief. And, you know, and so I guess I don't have a great answer for you, but I know that Coach Hazel really changed my life. And I owe a lot to him. He went on to be the Kent State head coach and the Purdue head coach. And he was up there with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen for a while in Minnesota. He's a phenomenal coach. And he always told me, hey, man, coach, when I'm 55, I'm done. I'm with my kids. And that dude turned 55, and he just hit it. So, you know, he's down in Cincinnati now, but he really, like, changed my – and so it's funny because I'll come back, you know, how I am. Like, I thought it was one way, and it was. I was like, hey, coach, I teach just like you did, like this, this, this. And he looked at me like, yo, Hart, like, I didn't teach that. I was just teaching, like, this and this. And I was like, you added that. And I was like, I see – I just warped it on my head. You know what I mean? And like, so it's been a combination of so much. And frankly, I watch on Instagram, and I really do. Like, I talk to guys all the time. I just want to learn so I can pass on to others. And I don't know. I didn't realize that was happening in my life. I thought I was a player, but now I realize, like, went through that path to hopefully be where I'm at today. So that was a long-winded answer, but that's kind of the guys that kind of shaped it over the years.
Well, see, that was fantastic information, but I was having PTSD on Greg Camarillo because that's a myth in my past. He had the freaking best three cone or like short shuttle at the Stanford Pro Day. He didn't have a ton of production at Stanford. Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy. Well, we get to the Pro Day. He put on a show, and I was with the Ravens, I believe, at the time. And, you know, we were very much tape related production, you know, and makeup in that. And then we tried not to get carried away with Pro Days. And then after that, I was like, I don't know, man, dude tears up the shuttles like this again. Like, I'm not making that mistake twice. Yeah. Went on and had a heck of a productive career, man, but his change of direction was off the charts.
Again, the common themes is those, the cerebral mental approach, the mental makeup, man. Just every time I talk to, you know, whether it's Ocho or B Marsh or like, it's all linked. Like, they all sound the same. They can talk it. If you can't, there's just something there, you know. And again, we're not saying it's concrete. It's odds of success, right? Mm-hmm. How do I improve my odds of success? 40-yard time. Okay, elk hunt. Okay, pro agility. Not saying it's one or the other. It's just your odds of success. And the more you do that, the more chances it's going to happen.
I want to talk about a couple guys you put out last year. It was a heck of a year for you with really three guys you had your hands on that found their way at the top of the draft. Let's start here. With Garrett Wilson. I want you just on these guys, coach, if I was going to say, why is he going to be successful? What would your answer be? Let's start with Garrett Wilson.
You know, Garrett Wilson, wow, what a maturation. I mean, he came in as an athlete. I mean, a heck of an athlete. I mean, maybe the best I've ever seen. And, but his ability to grow, like we said, in the mental makeup of the game is critical. And I think if you asked him, he'd probably tell you the same thing. So to me, you know, he has all of the skill sets. All right. So it's going to come down to, you know, continuing that consistency. Right. I mean, it's not if you can do it, it's how often. So as long as he continues to grow in that facet. And again, just like all athletes, not just Garrett Wilson, but like when you show up, you got to understand, I always say it's like Mario Kart. You know, it's like the race ain't done. You just hit a checkpoint. Yeah. So like he hit his checkpoint. Now we got to grow from here. How much can I grow from here to continue on that path? Because the path and trajectory he's on, from his freshman year to his junior year, is just off the charts. So can he learn from the guys around him? Can he get with this quarterback? Can he maintain a great lifestyle he already lives, you know? And and to me, when everything changes, when your surroundings change, it's more about, can I stay on my path? So if G5 can just stay on the path he's on and continue to, you know, add to that path, I mean, sky's the limit. So if he's – the answer to your question is, he's going to be successful if he stays on the path he's on. That's what I would say.
Let's go to Olave.
Chris, I mean, really it's as consistent as you come. I mean, when you put on the film, it's not necessarily a violent film and outside your body film and hard movement film. It's just smooth and consistent. And, you know, as a quarterback, you know where he's going to be and when he's supposed to be there. Personality wise, he's quiet. Like he knows how to be a pro, just like Garrett. So these guys have a lot in common to where they're at. I think that, you know, Chris is just a year older. So he's kind of, you know, provided that extra year of learning and growing. But, you know, I just think, I know as a quarterback, I think that at the end of the day, a lot of guys do different things, and Chris can do it all. I mean, again, it's not going to be flashy, but he's gonna sell the heck out of that go ball and run that comeback, and no one's gonna be on him. He's gonna create uncontested catches for you, and it's gonna be a routes on air mentality. So, again, not to sound repetitive, but these guys just stay on the path they're on. In my opinion, they're destined for success. And then again, it's how long they can do it, right? The NFL, we know, not for long, but it comes down to taking care of our bodies and operating at the level they're already operating at.
So my Olave story, I'm a San Diego guy. He grew up out here. So they have a prep pigskin award or something. It's like for the top football player in San Diego County. So they had me and Tom Telesco, the GM of the Chargers, were two of the guys that had to vote on this thing. So we do it independent of each other. We kind of send in who it was. Well, one of the nominees was the quarterback. I think it was Jack Tuttle was the quarterback at his high school. So I see Telesco, after this thing, and I go, hey, who did you vote for? And he goes, well, the best guy that I saw wasn't even nominated. I'm like, the receiver that was with the other quarterback, right? He's like, yes. I'm like, I don't know who this kid is, but that kid's the best player of any of these guys that we were looking at for this award. But man, what a find for you guys to go out to California and pluck.
And how'd you get that eval? Was it off a film?
Yeah, we watched film. So yeah, we're just watching film.
I thought it was more from the in-person eval because he didn't have a junior year. Yeah.
So this is going back. Gosh, so this would have been, was this his senior year?
It had to be.
It's for the top senior player or whatever in the country.
And so that was it. We saw it too. We were actually out there.
Holy crap, this kid's fast, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah, we were out there to recruit the quarterback, and that's kind of how it all linked up because he didn't play his senior year. I was not the receiver coach at the time. And I remember watching his film kind of pushed, hey, Hart, just check it out. We have these guys kind of in the boat. Where's he stack up? And I was like, frankly, I was like, man, he's the best one, hands down. He goes, I thought so too. I was like, yeah. So we went down that road and blessed that he came here. And then by the time he showed up in June, because he was a normal arrival, I started the receiver job at the end of July or so. So he was about a month out. And so his first year was my first year.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys. And again, you take it with a grain of salt. It's a high school field. But when the guy looks, he's just operating at a totally different speed than everybody else out there and just had total control of his body. But he was fun.
Right. The route tree just needed to be developed. And yeah. You definitely put the time in to do that. So,
yeah. And then I remember flipping on, gosh, it's a Saturday out here, probably one of those 9 a.m. West Coasters for a Big Ten game. And I remember maybe it was Michigan or one of his games his freshman year. I saw him block.
Michigan. It would have been Teal North because, for that, he was a June guy. So it took a little more time to kind of get rolling. But he started really being an attribute to our team towards the end of the year.
Yep. Yeah, I remember because I do the Charger games and Tom and I have said that's the guy we were talking about. Like he should have won the prep pigskin award back the year before. Last one, Jameson Williams, you had your hands on him before he goes to Alabama, has an unbelievable year before that unfortunate injury. Still goes in the first round of the Detroit Lions. What you saw from him, and you talk about kind of the trajectory line. Did you see that coming? That train was coming 100%. Down the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to dive into the conversations we had, but we're just in a spot, where, and again, he was that. So he came in June as well, spent, the first 2 years of his career with us. And then, in June, headed down to Alabama. And really, at the end of the day, it was just, one of those things where we have Jackson Smith and Jigbo, where we haven't really talked a lot about, which is fine. But you're going to talk about him pretty quick here now. And we just had honest conversations in the spring. Long story short, it just kind of was sometimes there's pressures to be, and I really want to put myself in a position to be a three year and out kind of guy. And, it was just one of those conversations where, listen, man, I don't know if I can guarantee you that right now. But if you're here and graduate your fourth year, you're going to reach all of your dreams. You're going to be a top 15 guy. I know what what you're capable. Anyways, not to divulge into that, but it was, I thought barely highly of him. Like I love JMO and he knows that. And I did, we did everything we could to make sure he was successful and everything he accomplished, man, I'm so happy for him and his family. Right. Just saw it though. High hip, longer gait. He came in, could really run. He was a hurdler and a little bit and ran track. And I fell in love with him when, that fall, on my first fall. And he had a little bit of a development from a route perspective just because he's high hipped and long. So he had to kind of work through that, did a phenomenal job, had a great spring. Before he headed south. But I have most loved there is for J-Mo. I remember talking, frankly, with Detroit and just about how much I thought of J-Mo. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, everything he's received and has done, well deserved. I mean, what a heck of a player. So I think for him to remain successful, it'll just be the consistency level. I really, and not to be a broken record, but it always comes down to that. You know, he had a great, great year down south, and now do it again, and then do it again, and then don't get bored and think you've arrived, just like every athlete, once you have a good year. But that guy's a ball guy. He is. He loves to compete. He loves to practice. So he has the makeup of being a guy that can play football for a long time in the NFL.
Now, Teddy Ginn was before you at Ohio State,
right? Yeah, 2 years before. Yep.
But just like in terms of like you talk about high hip, straight line, big time juice, like that was my kind of comparison for him going through the process.
A lot of comparison. I think that, you know, I think our route development was a little better than his. But no, I mean, all kidding aside, there's no doubt there's a comparison there. He knows, and again, me and Teddy are like this. We ran track against each other in high school. But I think J-Mo developed into one heck of a route runner. And I think he's done a phenomenal job, and I'm a fan for life. So I know he was back in town with the boys probably a week ago or so, but you know, anyways, biggest fan. I can't wait to watch what he does in Detroit.
Hey coach, this has been fun, man. I appreciate all your time being generous with us today. We always like when we get guys that are doing good work and get a chance to fill up a notebook here of good stuff, help us get better at what we do. So we appreciate your time, man. Best of luck. I know I did see a little thing. I did a little homework. I did see you already crushing in recruiting. So the pipeline's full. You lose all these guys. You go to the Rose Bowl. I talked to Pantone, who's in charge of their running recruiting, and he's like, "Dude, we'll be okay." And I was like, "Really? This is some studs you're losing." I turn on the Rose Bowl. I was like, "Yeah, you guys are fine."
It's special now. We've created a room where it's NFL like, and these guys are learning from each other. You know, like I said, like peer to peer pressure to learn. I don't care if you learn it from me or you learn from Garrett Wilson. You surround yourself with the best, you're going to become the best.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job, man, and your reputation is continuing to grow at the NFL level as well, and we're excited to follow your career as you move along. Best of luck over the rest of the summer as you guys kick it off this fall. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I love talking to you guys. See you guys.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as we did. So awesome to catch up with Brian Hartline. Again, I don't know if you can find a better developer of wideouts right now in football. He's just done a phenomenal job, not only identifying good players, recruiting them, but really the more importantly, developing them and adding nuance to their game. And as he mentioned, finding the right makeup, the right cerebral makeup with these guys and just giving them information. He's done a phenomenal job. And again, very generous with his time today. We appreciate that. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show as much as we have. And we'll catch you next time right here on Moving the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.